Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app out here at Jack Daniel's Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators hosting the Florida Panthers tonight. We are also in the thick of a Titans coaching search, and joining us to break it all down is TD Teron Davenport. TD, always appreciate our weekly chats with you. So we learned this morning that Thomas Brown, Dan Quinn, and Brian Callahan will all be coming in for their second interviews with the Titans, in-person interviews as well. What do we make of that, TD?
Yeah, you know, the Dan Quinn one really is intriguing to me. I don't know, and I didn't know that he was like a legit candidate, whereas like, you know, somebody that had a top chance, but evidently, you know, may get to the second round. That says that. So that's intriguing. Thomas Brown, I tell you, you want a leader. You know, he's definitely that. You could go back. I tell anyone who questions him as a candidate, just go watch the introductory press conference when he first got to the Carolina Panthers. And he said a lot of things that were very intriguing to me and that kind of got the wheels spinning. Like, hey, man, this guy could be a leader. And don't forget, he was voted the number four offensive coordinator, you know, by the NFLPA, by the players. But Brian Callahan, you know, he's the trailblazer, right? He was the first request, the first virtual, and now the first request to get the second, the in-person one. And I think he remains the favorite.
It does feel like, TD is with us, it does feel like Brian Callahan is the leader in the clubhouse. Let's just say, hypothetically, if today, you know, in the next 5 minutes, Brian Callahan is named the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, how would you feel about it?
Hey, I will be looking forward to covering this team this upcoming season, which I'm looking forward to that regardless. But, I mean, I just think the offense that he would bring and what he presents is just it's right for the Titans, right for Will Levis, and it's just the ideal situation. Now, let me say this also. From talking to, you know, some people in Brown's camp, I don't be surprised, like, if he doesn't get the job, you know, the OC situation wouldn't be bad for him. And let's not forget, he got those Sean McVay ties. We always overlook that, but this dude won a Super Bowl as the assistant head coach with the Rams.
We're talking with Teron Davenport, better known as TD, ESPN, talking Tennessee Titans. Now, Teron, you brought up something that that I was going to ask you, and we talked a little bit about it prior to having you on. If indeed Brown isn't the guy, say they go with Callahan or Dan Quinn, would it be a good idea to say, listen, this is who I want the offensive coordinator to be, Brown? Or do you think they should avoid that and allow the head coach, whoever they deem that's going to be, to pick his OC? Because we know, listen, if Callahan gets the job, more than likely he's going to be the guy calling plays as well.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think you do allow the head coach to pick his OC, but I think, you know, you could always suggest that, hey, this is a guy I think you should consider. But do you? We're going to trust you to do it, but you should consider this guy. And I think that's something that you may see happen with Thomas Brown. And here's the thing, right? You do have somewhat of a marriage there because they trace back to the same roots, right? Gary Kubiak is who Callahan got into the league coaching for. Kubiak was a coach and player for Mike Shanahan. Well, Kyle Shanahan is Mike's son. Sean McVay worked with him. So it's all like in the mix. And we already talked about how Brown has worked with McVay. So you do have that. I tell you, Liam Cohen remains someone that you definitely have to consider. And I would imagine that Callahan will also consider Dan Pitcher, who will probably replace him in Cincinnati if he goes. And you also have Troy Walters, the former slot receiver. He's actually the receiver coach and pass game coordinator there with the Bengals.
Now, with that being said, do you expect, or should the Titans, because we got the Senior Bowl coming up here, I think next week, next week. So I'm sure if they don't find a coach by then, they'll still be doing some interviews. But do you believe they should have their coach in play by the Senior Bowl, or should they, like every other team, just take your time and find the best guy because you have the most important person in place, and that's the GM right now?
Yeah, I think it's something that you absolutely have to take your time with, and that's what they're doing, right, as far as like making sure they leave no stone unturned. So The Senior Bowl is something that you – it's good to have your coaches down there because that gives your coach, especially now in this case, it's probably, you know, with the exception of Dan Quinn, is going to be a first-year coach, right? So you want him to get that opportunity to sit in front of some guys. And, you know, at the Senior Bowl, that's free reign. You get to meet with all the guys, and it's not numbered or anything like that. You just go ahead and rock out with the meeting. So that is key. But like you said, Rand Carthon is in place. Chad Brinker's in place. Anthony Robinson's in place. So they do have someone that will be able to sit in on those meetings and bring the feedback back to whoever they choose to be the head coach.
Now, I don't think we've had you on since the firing of Mike Vrabel. I could be wrong with that. But what did you think of the firing and the timing?
Yeah, I was on one time, but, yeah, it was in the midst of everything. It was kind of crazy. But, yeah, I mean, the firing, look, it comes down to this, right? There's a direction that they want to move as far as being more modern offensively, more innovative with a lot of the things they have going on, you know, all the way including sports science and some of the stuff that they're doing there. And apparently, you know, that wasn't something that was going to be married to what Mike Vrabel wanted. And, I mean, it's unfortunate because it ended up costing them a really good coach. You know, Mike Vrabel is going to be successful wherever he goes. And I definitely believe that. But at the end of the day, what they had in place wasn't fully accepted by Mike Vrabel and Miss Amy Adams Strump. I tell you, it's not a rash decision. It was something that, you know, has kind of, from what I understand, have been brewing for some time. But it hit a point where it was like, hey, look, can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's where they were.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I feel like that is probably a somewhat underreported part of the equation here. And you just hit on something I had not thought of this term. I think of analytics, which I think is part of it, but the sports science, the game is evolving. And this, if you read the statement, the very long statement that Amy Adams Strunk put out there, it kind of mentions these things, and it kind of gets glossed over in the whole, you know, I guess the shock of the whole thing, you know, moving on from a guy that's got incredible credibility around the league. But it does seem like there's a modernizing of what a lot of organizations are doing, and the Titans were a little bit old school there.
Yeah, and you saw a bit of in the sports science part of it, they did the GPS tracking to check the speeds that the guys are at and how much they're running and those type of things. And then they also, you know, did a lot to monitor things like that. You do have the shakes. I know some of the guys started to get custom shakes. Man, I can't remember the young lady's name. And I always peek my head in there and say hi to her, and I got to talk to her a little bit the one time. I just cannot remember her name. But her office is right there. When you come out of the locker room, it's right there. And she has started to put together, you know, some of the individual shakes and things like that. And I remember seeing that when I was in Philly. You know, that was one thing that Doug Peterson kept from Chip Kelly. And, you know, Chip Kelly was a huge advocate of sports science and all that crazy stuff that – or not crazy, but all of that, you know, innovative stuff that started to creep into the NFL. So there's some traces, but, I mean, there's more that they could do. And I think when you look at Chad Brinker, he has a model for everything from the analytics standpoint, and that's something that I would imagine, you know, the player injuries, they will look to find ways to try to reduce that because we know it's been outrageous over the last 3 years or so. So that's an area for improvement. And, hey, Thomas Brown, he had his first, like, football job was as a strength trainer with Georgia.
Interesting to think about how you would marry all that together. So how would you characterize – TD, it's hard for any of us to know, but you were around it a lot more than we were, but how Vrabel took to this stuff. I feel like he was coming on board with it, but definitely not on the cutting edge of it. Like you mentioned Chip Kelly. There are some coaches that have gone way out in front. Some have had more success than others. But how would you put Vrabel in with marrying the old school to, you know, where the game is going?
Yeah, I think he did have some input, you know, and some, not input, but some usage of analytics. I've asked him that multiple times about different things, and he did say that they considered it. But here's the thing with analytics, as far as like football field is concerned. all they are is a new way to refer to what old school people call tendencies, right? I mean, you look at back high school football, you go and you see the film of the team. Hey, third down, they like to have the tailback go in motion like this, and then they throw them the ball. That's what they do most of the time. That's analytics, but just, you know, to a more crude level. And I think that's something that Mike Vrabel understands and not think. I know, because we had one-on-one conversations about it from time to time. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely incorporated, like, he's not some, you know, curmudgeon, dinosaur football person. He mixed in some of it, but I think they wanted more organizationally and just, you know, from top to bottom and just for the whole program. And that's a part of why they are going forward with a new direction.
And I think of different facets of it. I think he did very visibly. For example, yesterday, or when was it? Yesterday in the Lions game, the Bucs went for two, and they could have cut it to six, which actually would have covered the spread. At least that's not why they did it, but they did it exactly how the Titans did when they came back against Miami. It's kind of the new wave way of doing it. You go for two, you try to cut it to six, and then you just kick the extra point to win it when you score again, like Derrick Henry did in the great comeback against the Dolphins. But everybody's kind of like, why in the world would you go for two here? But Vrabel did come around to that. But I guess what I'm getting at too, Teron, is it's not just how you apply it on game day, but also how you evaluate players, how you decide what players are worth. That's another thing that I'm wondering. I know John Robinson proudly said, hey, we go by the eye test more than anything. We kind of do analytics, but he would kind of downplay that part of it. But there's kind of there's a whole, you know, universe of how you could use this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole universe, and that's an advancement that this organization will have under Rand Carthon and the crew with Chad Brinker and, you know, Anthony Robinson and Brian Gardner and all those guys. That's something that they will have. And it's funny, you know, when Rand got the job, he mentioned Elijah Mitchell and how the analytics was the part that took them to him and say, hey, you know, this is actually the best outside zone runner in the draft, like one of the best ones, and we could get him in the sixth round, so let's do it. And you saw how that worked, right? Because that's a marriage of the analytics and the eye test, you know. And I think it's all about, like, not dismissing, and that's something that I had to work on myself. Like, somebody would say something analytic wise to me, I'm like, man, get the heck out of here with those formulas and algorithms. I'm not trying to, you know, but at the same time, you have to acknowledge it as a part of the process. And I think that's something that, you know, Carthon has done a good job of doing. And that Elijah Mitchell in San Francisco, you know, as a rookie, sixth-round pick, he had 900 rushing yards, you know what I mean? That's doing a lot.
No. Tron Davenport is with us. TD, getting back to some of the coaching candidates, I know that Thomas Brown is a name that you're high on. I just want to present to you one of my concerns about Thomas Brown, and then you talk me off a ledge. My thing with – let's look at the three candidates that are coming back for a second interview. I don't like the idea of Dan Quinn being the next Titans head coach because I want an offensive head coach. But, like, Dan Quinn's been around the block. You know, he's gotten to the Super Bowl. He has experience in the league. Looking at Brian Callahan, he's the longest-tenured OC in the league right now, which is wild because it's only been 5 years, which I think is just kind of more indicative of the shelf life of an OC, that if you're a good one, you're getting a head coaching position. But we've seen what he was able to work with Jake Browning, that he has the skins on the wall of working with and developing young quarterbacks. Thomas Brown, at least to me, from what I've learned of his background, doesn't quite have that experience or the skins on the wall that maybe some other candidates might have.
Yeah, he may not have the experience working with the quarterback or the skins of the wall on the wall, as you mentioned, but, you know, he has served in the OC role before in college at Miami for 2 years. And also, you know, as obviously with the Panthers, he, you know, served under Sean McVay as the assistant head coach there. But here's the thing, right? You have to look at whoever gets this job. If they're wise, they're going to keep Charles London as the QB coach and the pass game coordinator, because, you know, you look at the quarterback school that he put Will Levis through. You know, I don't think there's a person in that building outside of Levis more responsible for the development of him than Charles London. So you do have that. And obviously Pat O'Hara was working with them too, but Charles London and Levis has said this, you know, London was instrumental in that. So you have London there to help you out in that area. Also, Thomas Brown is very close to Jim Caldwell. And last time I checked, Jim Caldwell has an extensive record of working, successful work with quarterbacks. So you have that as well. And then you look at if he wanted to, you know, you could bring Josh McCown, a former NFL quarterback, a guy who was just interviewing for the Texans, head coaching job 2 years ago. So you have that as well. So for me, when you look at things, right, as someone that's effective at your job, you have to look at it and say, hey, okay, these are areas I'm not strong at. Who can I bring in to strengthen that and make this something that turns into a positive? And I think that's what Thomas Brown would do.
Now, you just spoke of whoever the coach is going to be of the Tennessee Titans. It would be wise of them to retain Charles London as their quarterback's coach because, you know, to me, this season, I think he was worth, you know, the money to bring him in because prior to that, they had a hard time, it seemed, at least to me, at developing those young quarterbacks. Take Ryan Tannehill out of the equation because he had been in the league 8 years when he got here prior to coming here. So whoever that guy is, you retain him. But we did have a segment where how does the Tennessee Titans be next year's Texans? How do they go from the worst in the league to competing for the AFC South or competing for a spot in the playoffs? What are some of the first things they need to do in order for that to come to fruition outside of the head coach?
Yeah, I think whoever the head coach is has to incorporate a scheme that showcases Will Levis, what he does well. And in addition to that, they have to find a way to get Treylon Burks to reach a fraction of the potential that he has. Because, I mean, you watch this guy, he's so talented. So you have that. You above all else, though, you have to get the O-line right. And that's why that number 7 pick is so important. I'm not saying you reach for an offensive lineman, but if Joe Alt is there, ran better run, you know, right to that podium and put that pick in because he's the guy that you want. So there's an assortment of things that have to happen, and that's not front. The defensive side of the ball has to be worked on as well.
I think Floyd Reese would tell you he ran when Javon Curse was still available in 1999.
I'm sure he did.
Just tripping over.
I think there's a great story that he used to tell that he was calling around to see who was trying to pick who. He was trying to figure out, was anybody going to pick Curse? Uh-huh. And then, like, as he was thinking about trading up, and then all of a sudden he figured out who was going to get picked right before, and it wasn't Curse. And he said, I sprinted up to that thing.
Yeah. I don't blame him. I'd have done the same thing.
It worked out pretty well.
Worked out pretty well. TD is with us. TD, we heard Derrick Henry on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast last week and talked about his future with the Titans, his last few years with the Titans. He talked about how things just felt different in the locker room and things felt different from the outside looking in for me. But he talked about his future with the Titans and either Taylor Lewan or Will Compton asked, is the door closed going back to Tennessee? He said, no, the door's not closed, but I feel like they're going in a different direction. What did you make of Derrick Henry sit down on Bussin' with the Boys, and what do you think Derrick Henry's future will be? Will it be in Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, how could Derrick not feel like they were going in a different direction? Yeah. You look, this year is the first time another running back even came within like 20% of the snaps that Derrick Henry got. And obviously, that was a part of, you know, Spears being on the field with him at the same time, too. But, yeah, I think the writing's kind of been on the wall. But that's not to say that the door is closed on him coming back. But, you know, it's time. The team, they're going to look to shift to a different philosophy on offense. And, unfortunately, as good as he still is, because I think he's still among the best running backs, he's just not that guy anymore that this offense could be, you know, can revolve around. And I don't think the Titans wanted to do that anyway.
TD, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat with you next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, hey, Willie, single game Mets tickets are on sale, man. I'm getting ready to get the April 14th, Doc's jersey is getting retired, and June 1st is Daryl Strawberry. The tickets are hot, man. So
I knew they were doing that. I thought it was the same day, but I'm glad they're making 2 days out of it. But that's great. I've been excited for that. I am definitely pulling out my Doc Gooden jersey that one of our great listeners, who was a collector, gave me years ago, and I still have it. I will pull it out that day. Autographed Doc Gooden jersey there. And, TD, you'll be happy to know the voice of the Florida Panthers, Steve Goldstein, lifelong Met fan as well. So there's at least three of us in the city today.
There we go. Let's have it, man.
wait, sorry, TD. One more thing before you run. Uh-oh. Will the Titans have a head coach by the time we talk to you on Monday, next Monday?
Oh, man, you throw me right on the grill, man. The weather just broke. We don't need to be grilling yet. You know what? Hey,
not
look,
this weather.
I'll say yes. Yeah, I think they do have one by then.
I think so, too. All right, TD, appreciate you. I would say let's go, Mets, but that would sound like vinegar coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, a Cardinals fan. Cardinal fan, Mets fans, we do not mix.
Pond scum. All right, TD, appreciate you. We'll chat with you soon. All right, let's react to what TD had to say coming up next. Plus, I do want to get Willie's thoughts on the three head coaching candidates coming in for their second interview with the Tennessee Titans. We will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.